31 bills to hear today, all of which are suspense items. We have two bills on file that have been rescheduled for our next hearing. At the author's request, those are measures SB 1028 and SB 1397 by our very own Senator Hill. And we can have sergeants call the absent member so we can establish quorum as quickly as possible. And why don't we begin with Senator Jackson? Please come forward. Senator Jackson, you have four items.
That's correct, and I promise I'll be brief.
You want to start, let's start with SB 834.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you.
This is a bill, SB 834, that prohibits the State Lands Commission from approving leases that allow for the development of infrastructure for new or additional oil and gas production from federal waters. I believe the chair knows this bill well, as he is my joint author in this. And we worked together on this, I believe, last year as well. Now, California has long sought to protect its stunning coasts and oceans from the risks inherent with offshore drilling, starting in 1921, almost 100 years ago, when California withdrew certain offshore areas from gas and oil leasing. In 1994, upon finding that offshore oil and gas production posed an unacceptably high risk to the state's marine environment, this legislature passed the landmark Coastal Sanctuaries Act, which prohibited new offshore oil and gas production in state waters. This bill continues that tradition by responding to recent announcement by the Trump administration to open up wide swaths of federal waters to new offshore oil development. Specifically, the Trump administration recently proposed, under its new five-year offshore lease plan for federal waters, to open up several new leases off the West Coast, with six new leases targeted right here in California. This is the first new proposal of lease tracts off of California since 1984. While the committee analysis suggests this bill may result in foregone offshore oil and gas revenue, additional offshore development in California poses a serious risk of oil spills, degrading our air and water quality and adversely impacting our marine resources. And though it is often overlooked, expanded offshore oil and gas production also directly threatens California's oceans-based economy, which produces $45 billion a year in gross domestic product each year and employs almost 500,000 people in the state. We cannot risk harming one of the world's largest economic engines by reversing course on 30 years of bipartisan agreement that has kept California's coast off limits to oil and gas. This bill has been developed for over a year, after several consultations with State Lands Commission staff, policy committee consultants, and issue experts. As a result, the bill has been refined and significantly tightened to ensure that this ban will be airtight. As we debate this bill today, states across this country are enacting similar legislation, in many cases modeled on my bill from last year. In fact, the state of New Jersey has passed a similar bill, and it is signed into law in New Jersey, while the state of California has secured an exemption directly from the Trump administration. The state of Florida has secured an exemption directly from the Trump administration to the benefit of Governor and U.S. Senate candidate Rick Scott. From South Carolina to Washington State, Republican and Democratic states are saying no to new offshore drilling, and it's time we did the same here. And with me, I have two witnesses to speak on the economic importance of this bill, Juan Altamirano, representing the California Audubon Society, and Dan Jacobson here on behalf of Environment California.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California, and we're here in strong support of SB 834. This bill would prohibit the commission, as Senator Jackson said, and the local trustees of granted public trusted lands, trust lands, from entering into any new lease or any other conveyance authorizing new construction of oil and gas related infrastructure upon tidal lands and submerged lands within the state waters associated with the outer continental shelf leases issued after January 1st, 2018. This bill to us is a common sense bill that protects California's natural resources. The story of every bill in recent history has been written in images of dead birds, dead and dying birds. We learned in 1969 that drilling off our beautiful coast wasn't worth the gamble, and we've regularly proven since right since. We need to be willing to learn from history and avoid repeating the mistakes of the past. Time and time again, accidents and spills have demonstrated that offshore drilling in California is unnecessary and dangerous. This is not about sensible economic development. It's about the exploitation of natural resources in a way that threatens California's birds, marine life, and fishing industry, and our truly Californian way of life. Californians have not forgotten that the massive oil spill off the shores of Santa Barbara in 1969 that sparked the movement to ban offshore drilling in the state and had impact across the U.S. The spill covered hundreds of square miles of ocean, blackened more than 30 miles of beach, and killed hundreds of thousands of birds. The cost of not addressing this issue now will adversely be consequential to our natural resources here in California. And it is for these reasons that we respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dan Jacobson with Environment California. Let me make four quick points here. The first is that SB 34 is completely consistent with the Senate Resolution 73, which passed with bipartisan support. So I think that's important to recognize. Second, and as Mr. Altamirano has already pointed out, past impacts, not only 1969, but the oil spill in 2016 with 150 square miles that were impacting closed down commercial fishing grounds, hurting California's economy and the environment. In 2016, California, as many people already know, was the sixth largest economy with a coastal economy that produced $2.2 trillion in GDP, which equates to 12% of the nation's GDP. And in 2012, the ocean-related tourism and recreation contributed $17.6 billion to California's GDP, which grew to $19.5 billion in 2016. And finally, I would just conclude my last point saying that there are plenty of opportunities in which to produce energy off the coast of California, and we can do it with offshore wind, which does not have the devastating impacts that oil does, but which does produce a healthy economy and plenty of energy for the state of California. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair and Member, Sylvia Solis Shaw on behalf of the Board of Supervisors of Sonoma County. The board has opposed offshore oil drilling and leases since 1985 due to the potential threat to our local communities and the potential economic impacts if there were to be an oil spill. So we ask for your support of this measure. Thank you.
Dominique Lofton on behalf of the Ocean Conservancy in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance, just a quick note for the public. Department of Finance will not be present today. They've indicated that they have no files for the items that are being heard today. So why don't we establish a quorum as well. Secretary, please call the roll.
Laura?
Here.
Laura here. Bates? Bell? Bell here. Bradford? Bradford here. Hill? Hill here, Nielsen, Wiener.
Perfect. Any comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, Senator Jackson, would you like to close?
Just very briefly, you know, to talk about the impacts and the costs, should we be able to do what other states are calling for now is beyond speculative. What we do know, though, is that the costs, if we do allow expanded offshore oil drilling, can be terribly impactful on our economy. And as was noted in 2016, Santa Barbara yet again suffered another oil spill, which cost not only Santa Barbara County but other affected counties millions of dollars. We know how devastating and how destructive oil drilling is. We know its cost to our environment. With that, I believe that as this bill is given consideration, we recognize the importance of making this statement, protecting our coast, and protecting the future of our planet with alternative energy sources that we know are there and are being well developed.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Senator Jackson, your important work on this item. Senator Jackson, let's move to your second item. Oh, I'm sorry. Without objection, I'm going to move this item to the suspense file for further deliberation. Let's continue with SB 1093.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a measure, SB 1093, that would add adult protective service workers and investigators to the Department of Motor Vehicles confidential records programs. While the analysis states that this is a suspense candidate, it also states that it is a one-time and ongoing operational cost that are both minor and absorbable. These costs are truly a minor investment that will benefit the state in the long run. By providing adult protective service workers with the critical protections of their personal information data, they will be able to serve California's ever-growing elder population that is experiencing financial, physical, and mental abuse. If we do not protect these APS workers and give them the sense of job security that are afforded to other social workers, such as our child protective service workers, the long-term impacts of these senior abuse cases remaining unresolved will result in unprecedented and unknown future costs to this state. With placing these APS workers on the confidential records program, it will allow them to visit their clients with the peace of mind and greater efficiency in their work, knowing that despite facing threats of stalking by abusers, which are very real, who take down their license plates, their personal information would therefore be protected. This is truly a very serious problem. I would indicate that most of these workers are women, have families, and their fear of being harassed, intimidated, or threatened is very real. This would be a small cost. We need more workers, not fewer, as our state ages. And with that, I have with me Kathy Senderling from the County Welfare Directors Association of California, and would respectfully request that this measure move off the suspense file.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Kathy Senderling with the County Welfare Directors Association. We're the sponsor of the legislation. We have about 750 to 800 adult protective services workers statewide. And as the Senator noted, we do believe it's a minor cost to potentially prevent greater harm and enable us to continue to recruit a qualified workforce, especially as we know we will need to add staff over time as our population continues to age. This would also provide equity with the child welfare staff who do the same job and are already afforded the protections that we're seeking in this legislation for just these few hundred staff. In short, we are happy to work with the Department of Motor Vehicles to ensure that we're utilizing all of their existing systems and their existing forms for the protections that are already afforded to about two dozen other categories of workers throughout the state while the bill is on suspense to make sure that the costs are minimized. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
Mr. Chair and members, Sylvia Solis-Shaw on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco in support.
Mr. Chair and members, Michelle Rubalcaba with Nielsen Merksmer on behalf of the County of San Diego and Contra Costa in support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, Senator Jackson, would you like to close?
Yes, very briefly. With all due respect to the analysis, again, using the same forms that exist, just adding these adult protective services workers, I believe is a minor cost, and that the cost indicated of $150,000 is just unnecessary. We have the forms. We have the system. We just want to add this group of very important workers to that protection. And with that, I would ask for your consideration in taking this off suspense at the appropriate time.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Without objection, we'll move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1150.
This is a bill on CEDAW. CEDAW is the Commission on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. This is a bill that will put a gender lens on state activities by asking state departments and agencies to look at their performance and their actions, their decision-making and goals in the context of gender discrimination, and to examine ways we might be perpetuating gender discrimination in our employment practices, wage disparities, health inequities, or the delivery of public services in general. California would be the first state to adopt what is known as this CEDAW. But this has been an international bill of rights for women. It is the first and only international treaty that comprehensively addresses women's rights within political, cultural, economic, social, and family life. These assessments are critical for ensuring fairness for women and girls, and I look forward to working with the committee while the bill is on suspense to determine ways we can appropriately reduce its costs while retaining the important goal of the bill. I believe the bill is a candidate for the suspense file.
Thank you. Comments or questions? Witnesses in support.
Shannon Smith Crowley on behalf of the American Association of University Women for California, and we're in support.
Mariko Yoshihara with the California Employment Lawyers Association in support.
Sylvia Solisha on behalf of the City and County of San Francisco in support.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, Senator Jackson, would you like to close?
Very briefly, CEDAW is an international treaty that has been signed by all but 7 countries in the world.
Thank
you. The United States is one of them, as is the Sudan, Palau, and other countries of note. If we're going to really start addressing the issue of inequality and inequity based on gender, this is one of the key places where we need to start. And with that, I would respectfully request your consideration while this bill's on suspense.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Your last item is SB 1300.
Mr. Chair and members, I am here to present SB 1300, a comprehensive bill to address sexual assault in the workplace by providing guidance to the courts on our severe and pervasive legal standard that is required to bring litigation in a civil action. It will also hold employers accountable for failing to take reasonable steps to prevent harassment before it rises to this level. It will also strengthen sexual harassment training requirements and prohibit legal tactics that silence victims and prevent them from seeking justice, which include non-disparagement clauses and sneaky releases. The bill is a suspense candidate, and as the analysis says, there are potentially increased costs to Department of Fair Employment and Housing as more people become aware of their rights and DFEH's investigatory role. There are potentially unknown costs incurred by strengthening sexual harassment training requirements and by requiring training for all employees, not just supervisors, and for employers of 5 or more. While there may be additional upfront costs, this bill is an attempt to put stronger protections in place to prevent unlawful discriminatory conduct from occurring in the first place. When sexual harassment occurs, it carries steep costs for all employers, including the state of California. Media outlets have reported that the state has paid out more than $25 million in the last 3 fiscal years to settle sexual harassment cases. Aside from these kinds of direct costs, there are also potentially a host of indirect costs to the state from sexual harassment, including increased employee turnover, decreased productivity, and damage to our state's reputation. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Anything we can do to prevent harassment before it arises to unlawful levels is worth it, not just because it's good for our workplaces, but because it's also good for the bottom line and is ultimately a cost savings, which is what we're here today to discuss. The bill is a suspense candidate, I recognize, but I would respectfully request at the appropriate time this be removed from the suspense file. And I have with me today Mariko Yoshihara with California Employment Lawyers Association, one of the bill's sponsors, to say a few words in support, as well as the AAUW.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Mariko Yoshihara with the California Employment Lawyers Association. We are proud to co-sponsor this bill with Equal Rights Advocates. Also, just want to mention that this is a priority bill for the women's economic security agenda as part of the Stronger California Advocates Network. And I just want to quickly explain why it's a women's economic security issue. And it's because sexual harassment is inextricably linked with the gender wage gap, women's workplace opportunities, career decisions, and earning power. So preventing and effectively addressing sexual harassment is one very effective way to close the gender wage gap. Many women who experience sexual harassment at work report increased anxiety and depression, which impacts work productivity, poor performance at work. Another recent study found that women who say they've experienced sexual harassment at work are 6.5 times more likely to leave their job, often to a job of lower quality or with lower pay, or often they'll just leave the workforce altogether. Hostile work environments also lead women to avoid entering or staying in certain industries, which also leads to increased occupational gender segregation. Want to recognize or thank the committee staff for recognizing that the training will actually help reduce the number of claims because, again, what this bill is trying to do is prevent sexual harassment from occurring in the first place. Also want to address that I think that this will lower, reduce litigation costs in relation to certain kinds of legal tactics that we've seen serial perpetrators use to try to silence victims or have them waive their rights as a way to for these sexual predators, again, to evade our sexual harassment laws. So, again, I think this comes down to preventing sexual harassment claims from being filed altogether and increasing women and men's earning power at work.
Thank you.
Actually, urge your support.
Shannon Smith Crowley on behalf of the American Association of University Women for California, and we align ourselves with the comments of CELA.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Comments or question? Opposition? Please come forward.
Hi, good morning. Laura Curtis on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify today. We are here in opposition to SB 1300 because of the fiscal impact on employers. This is actually titled a job killer for the California Chamber of Commerce because of the crushing amount of litigation that will come from this bill. There does seem to be some confusion around what employers' duties are. Employers do have an affirmative duty under the law currently to prevent harassment and discrimination, and they're required to act as soon as there is a complaint. Additionally, the DFEH already has police power regarding failure to prevent harassment and discrimination. While there's no current private right of action for failure to prevent harassment or discrimination, that does fall under the DFEH's police powers. During the informational hearing that were held earlier this year, there seemed to be an understanding that the current severe pervasive standards should not be lowered. However, SB 1300 simply provides a skirt around that severe or pervasive standard. You no longer have to suffer from harassment or discrimination in order to bring a cause of action. You're simply bringing a cause of action for failure to prevent harassment or discrimination that never actually occurred. Therefore, employers are simply being sued for harassment or discrimination that didn't actually occur. Additionally, any individual can bring the cause of action against the employer. It doesn't have to be an employee. And it's the current bill uses if and would language. If it were to occur, then it would become harassment or discrimination. So essentially what this would allow is for the courts to serve as California's human resources. And the courts would be there to try and diffuse these kind of employment complaints that should be handled within an employer's obligations. And this radical lowering of the bar would then create crushing amount of litigation because every single potential harassment or discrimination claim that wasn't brought by the individual that suffered harassment or discrimination, even if that individual did not believe that they were personally suffering harassment or discrimination, could be brought by another person to the employer. And therefore, we are in opposition to SB 1300 and it is a job killer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, Chris McKaylee on behalf of the California Ambulance Association, and I would echo the concerns that Ms. Curtis noted, but I would just add, Senator Jackson, as we've had discussions before, has indicated that this bill is intended to provide guidance to the courts, and we find that the language, particularly in Section 2 of the bill, subsection K, is very ambiguous and will have the exact opposite effect. And respectfully to the proponents, we don't think it'll reduce litigation costs, particularly for the private sector, but instead drive them up substantially. And I think that your analysis notes in the third bullet on page 2 our fundamental concern, which is that under the bill, the plaintiff does not need to prove that he or she endured sexual harassment or discrimination, which is a radical departure. Our other concern is that we think that there will be cost to the state as well as the private sector because of the limitation on signing a release of claims under FEHA is going to result in fewer and more costly settlements of cases. So for those reasons, we continue to be opposed. Thank you.
Additional witnesses in opposition.
Ms. Rodriguez with the Guaca Group on behalf of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers in strong support. Opposed, sorry.
Sorry. Faith Lane Borges on behalf of the Family Business Association of California and the California Association of Joint Power Authorities, respectfully opposed.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, Senator Jackson, would you like to close?
Yes, well, this is a longer conversation, but you can be sure that the goal here is not to increase litigation. we have a very high standard of severe and pervasive, so that litigation can only be brought once it reaches that level. What we're trying to do is to provide employers with a duty to address the issue as soon as it occurs, rather than wait until it becomes severe and pervasive, which then generates the litigation that we're seeing today. So with all due respect, I don't believe that we need to cry wolf about that at this point. And what we're saying is employers can't sit on their hands when these things happen and wait until lawsuits are filed. So with all due respect, the goal here is to reduce these kinds of claims by reducing the kind of behavior. And that is the goal. And we've worked very hard to achieve that. I believe this bill does it. I'm always happy to work with the opposition if there's any ambiguity, because the goal is certainty. The goal is to make sure we're all working with the same roadmap. We're all doing everything we can to prevent this from happening. And with that, I recognize it is a bill that it will be going on the suspense file. But as mentioned, there are a lot of costs associated with sexual harassment that our society really cannot afford to endure. And I believe this bill will assist us in reducing those costs.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Senator Wilk, please come forward. Senator Wilk, you are presenting on SB 1009, is that correct? And you're waiving on SB 1356.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. The floor is yours.
Mr. Chair and members, SB 1009 would allow for tutoring beyond basic skills courses, permitting community colleges to collect apportionment funding for supervised tutoring in all subject areas that are either basic skills, degree applicable, or transfer level. The current restrictions in the Ed Code limit the ability to expand tutoring in subject areas that are degree applicable unless they correspond to another non-credit category. Tutoring is proven to increase course completion based on research from College of the Canyons, who's a sponsor of this bill. Students who received tutoring had higher rates of course completion than those who did not. For instance, students who received 20 more hours of tutoring had an 82% course completion rate. That compares to a course completion rate of 70% for those receiving no tutoring. Among the most effective methods for improving student success is providing supervised tutoring in whatever subject students find that they will need additional help, thereby supporting them on their pathway to completion. I believe SB 1009 will actually save money, because the expensive tutoring will be offset by the savings realized from fewer students repeating classes. Additionally, the non-credit apportionment rate is lower per FTES than the credit rate. So while the state will see an increased cost in tutoring, a corresponding decrease in the more expensive cost of course completion will result in a net savings. Additionally, unspent community college enrollment growth funds that are already appropriated could also be used for tutoring if needed. With the permission of the chair, I have witnesses to speak in support. I have Dr. Barry Gribbins, Deputy Chancellor of College of the Canyons, and Michelle Underwood, representing the Association of California Community College Administrators.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
It is a good bill. I'm the Deputy Chancellor, there we go, at College of the Canyons. The bottom line fiscal impact of this bill is that it would be expected to save the state $7 million per year. And I'll elaborate a little bit on that. Over my 18 years at the college, we've done about, myself and my research staff, have done about 500 studies. Some of those studies have been on the effects of tutoring. As Senator Wilk just mentioned, students not receiving tutoring have a success rate of 70%, so the percentage of students passing the class is 70%. With tutoring, 1 to 9 hours of tutoring, that increases to 78%. With 10 to 19 hours, that goes up to 80%. And over 20 hours goes up to 82%. Substantially larger percentage of students pass the course and therefore don't need to repeat the course. As the senator just mentioned, tutoring is funded at a lower rate than credit classes. It's funded at $3,009 per FTE as opposed to $5,004 per FTE. When students pursue tutoring. They oftentimes just need a few hours of tutoring. They don't need to engage in the full 50 hours that they would have to repeat if they went taking the class over again. So coupling the lower rate and the fewer hours, allowing tutoring for additional subject areas would actually save money. Also, even if it didn't, there's funds that are currently unsubscribed that are left on the table for FTE, for full-time equivalent students. But nonetheless, the analysis would show that it would actually save the state money. The tutoring's needed in not just basic skills. Some of our historically low success rate courses include areas like history, philosophy, astronomy, computer information technology, graphic design, biology, physics, and many areas. So students struggle with a lot of different areas, and they need the support of tutoring. Rarely do we have the opportunity to help students to increase their success rate and to do so on a very large scale across the state with no fiscal impact, but that's what 1009 would do. Thank you.
Good morning, Michelle McKay Underwood on behalf of the Association of California Community College Administrators. Thank you so much for allowing me to testify this morning in support of SB 1009. Senator Wilk has done an excellent job of summarizing the bill, so I'd simply add that studies on the effects of tutoring on student success demonstrate a significant trend. The more academic support students receive, the more likely they are to pass their courses, stay enrolled, and persist in their educational journey. Since every community college course is subsidized by the state of California, we believe this bill will be a fiscal benefit to the state as students have fewer repeat courses and move through the system more efficiently, resulting in a better return on investment for the state of California. As your staff's excellent analysis notes, there are many factors in determining the bill's effects on state spending. What is not in dispute is that tutored students are more successful in community colleges, and we think that is a worthy investment of Proposition $98. We thank Senator Wilk for his leadership on this issue and respectfully request your aye vote.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support, please come forward.
Good morning, Dolores Davison, Vice President-elect for the Academic Senate for California Community Colleges. At our plenary session earlier this month, the 114 Academic Senate presidents around the state voted unanimously in favor of this bill, and we ask for your support for all the reasons Senator Wilk has outlined. We'd also like to thank the senator and his staff for working with the Academic Senate about a few of the concerns, and they did change the bill regarding those concerns, which allowed us to vote unanimously in favor of it. Thank you very much.
Stephanie Dowdle with the Faculty Association of California Community Colleges. We're in strong support of this bill.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition? Comments or questions from committee? Senator Bell.
Just a question. Some community colleges have proficiency requirements, is that correct, to enter into the community college?
There's no requirements to get into a California Community College. We accept everybody. There are placement tests, though, that we use to place students.
You have to do a placement test and so forth.
Yes, exactly.
Now, the tutoring programs will help them pass those tests, correct?
Yes, and that raises an excellent point. Many of us, including our college, have radically shifted our placement, moving where we used to only place 15% into college level math. Now we place 71%. The dynamics are such, though, where students, the need for tutoring is especially great because of those placement changes.
Okay, because I think this is important for students that have learning disabilities.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of the tutoring programs in the community colleges are for students that have various forms of learning disabilities. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to support this.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, Senator Wilk, would you like to close?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, SB 1009 will assist students in completing their academic educational goals. It will get them into the workforce quicker, and it will ultimately save California taxpayers money. I hope that you will see fit to remove this off suspense when the time is appropriate, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file.
Members, we're going to now work our agenda. I'm going to start with Senator Wiener's item, SB 900, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition, comments or questions from committee. Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Allen's items, beginning with SB 934, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 935, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to file item SB 950, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Dodd's item, SB 969, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1356 by Senator Wilk, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1071 by Senator Newman, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to 1082 by Senator Bradford, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1279, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to suspense file. We don't have one. Going to move to Senator Roth's item, SB 1087, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition.
Sylvia Solisha on behalf of Advanced Energy Economy in opposition. Thanks.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1095 by Senator Anderson, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Portantino's items, beginning with SB 1100, witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Dan Reed with National Rifle Association, also here on behalf of CRPA today. We're in strong opposition. Apart from the significant policy concerns regarding rationing a constitutional right and raising the age limit, we're here in opposition of expanding crimes to otherwise lawful activities, as well as the further strain this puts on our DRO system. As noted in the analysis, the DRO system is structurally imbalanced. We put significant strains on that system over the past few years, and some of those laws that were passed in 16 have not fully been implemented. So this is just one more strain on that system. We'd encourage the author to focus on the criminal misuse of firearms, as well as the APPS program, where we currently have more than 10,000 known prohibited persons in possession of firearms right now. We've thrown a lot of money at that, but let's look at something that we can all agree on, and that's getting firearms out of the hands of criminals and prohibited persons. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, Sam Paredes representing Gun Owners of California. We look at the fiscal impact of the analysis and agree, and to some extent think that is slightly understated. We also note that there's no mention of the fact that this will most definitely be challenged in court, because you have law-abiding citizens who are recognized by the United States of America as adults and members of the militia who are being denied their Second Amendment rights in their denial of their ability to purchase firearms. There will most surely be a lawsuit filed on this. One has been filed in Florida, and one will be filed here in the state of California, which will cost upwards of probably $1 million, something like that. And we are fairly confident that that is a lawsuit that will be successful in challenging this law. So we ask that that be taken into consideration.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing, hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1243, witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. We are going to go back up the agenda, members, just to go over SB 967 by Senator Berryhill, who just waived presentation. Witnesses in support, witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Leyva's SB 1130. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Skinner's items, beginning with SB 1190. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1200. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Gaines' item, SB 1221. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to Senator Glazer's SB 1224. Witnesses in support.
Hi, Zara Abedin on behalf of UCSA, University of California Student Association, and strong support. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1272 by Senator Galjani. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1320 by Senator Stern. Witnesses in opposition. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1400. Witnesses in support, please come forward.
Good morning, Eileen Tovar on behalf of CalPERC in support of 1400. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in opposition. Questions or comments from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SB 1403. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Moving on to SJR 22 by Senator Wesso. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Members, please bear with me. We're just waiting to see if Senator Mitchell's waiving presentation. Perfect. Members, Senator Mitchell has waived presentation on both her items. We're going to go over her first item, which is SB 1083. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none. Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Last measure is SB 1343. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Members, thank you. This concludes our hearing for today.